look around and it's like, wow, everybody's come out today, and I'm so glad I got here early. And I woke up at my normal time. What good did it do to get an hour? I woke up at my normal time. So I get up, and it's like, and here's what you do. You say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to brush my teeth, and then I'm going to lie back down. You can't do that. And so I thought, just forget it. And so I got up, and I just made my shake. And my breakfast usually consists, especially on Sunday morning and most mornings, of a shake. And so I made my healthy shake, and I finished that. And normally by the time I finish my shake, I have it all, this little thing. We get our lives so routine, and it's time to walk out the door. Except I usually try to walk out the door at 20 till 9. Except it was 20 till 8. So what happened? I went out and thought, well, this means I need to look over my notes again. And that's not always good for you, because I added more. And so you need to really pray, Lord, if you're going to do anything, let him oversleep. Don't let him go write more on notes. But I made notes on notes, and so I have all this, and I handwrote all this. I said, oh boy, I got a bunch of notes. This is going to be great. And so here we go. Anyway, and finally, I just went ahead and took off, and I got here, and I'm not used to driving up, nobody, and the parking lot's empty. And the first thing that hit me was, where is everybody? And then the next thing that hit me is, because you're here earlier than you've ever been, So I backed up against the trees out there like I normally do. And I sat there, and I was sitting there, and that sun felt so good coming through the window, I almost fell asleep. And then I kind of came out of it and realized it was a quarter after then, after 10, and I thought, good Lord, you got to get in there. And I thought, wouldn't that be funny? This hilarious thing hit me. You're sitting in here saying, where's Pastor? And somebody says, he's in the pickup asleep. Go get him for the service. So anyway, it all worked out. And then on my way down here, I cut down to Highway 285 and 385, whatever it is. And it's the back road, and I saw these two does on the side of the road, and they were looking back over their shoulders. Well, that's always, if you study deer, you want to slow up, and look, because when does are standing, when the girls, as with any, girls are girls, and then the girls are looking back over that shoulder, there's probably a boy out there. And so I slowed down, and sure enough, there was a boy out there. But he was a big boy. He's one of the biggest boys I've seen on that highway the whole time. He was 10. I couldn't tell. He was 10 points for sure, maybe 12, and they were long, and he was out past his ears. And that, just a beautiful animal. And I thought, see, what a blessing, just to get to see that. And those girls were right beside the road. Did you know I slowed up and drove by about 20 miles an hour? Looking at that big old buck, and he's slinging his head. You know how guys do. Get that studly thing going, and that proud deal out there with those horns. And I drove by those does, and do you know they never budged? They were locked. They were locked on that hunk out there. They were looking at that. What a hunk. Look at him. And he knew it. And he was just doing his head down. You know how they do like that. And that's, oh, man, yeah. And I thought, I used to try that. You know, we all did that when we were younger. I tossed my head like that. Now I have to take Advil. Something pops in your neck. I can't do that junk anymore. So anyway, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 and read out of the New International Version. And then we're going to break it down. And I want to say some things to you, and we're going to look at some, and we're just taking this passage, and we're going to exegete it. It means we're going to take it, and we're going to translate it, interpret it, and translate it, and really squish it around. We've been in Colossians, and now we're grabbing a piece out of Ephesians, And Paul is talking about all the stuff that God's doing and how he became a servant of the gospel and God's eternal purpose. This is the stuff you need to read. I don't have time for it to give you up here. But read the stuff before and after this, as I always, you know, really challenge you to do. And he says, he said, don't be discouraged because of my sufferings and Jesus and God. And he's telling all this stuff that God did and has done for him. And he said, now for this reason, that's why you have a "for this reason" there in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with powers. Everybody getting this? I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. And I'll go back over that because there's some Greek words here and translations I don't want you to miss. And that word power, just know this, that word power means some different things in the Greek. That one word stands for might, courage, boldness. That one word, a power. And so when you're doing a translation, it just depends on, you know, how modern you want it to be, how far to the right or whatever. But it literally means that, you know, that he may strengthen you with power, might, courage, boldness. So we get all that in one word, through his Spirit in the inner being. And so here's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm praying that God, out of his glorious riches, will strengthen you with this power, might, courage, boldness that you need, and through his Spirit. He said, this is not of the flesh. And that's why this is important to grab this. This is not of the flesh. This is not something material. This is not something physical. This is something that has to come in the heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, courage, boldness, all of this together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Isn't this powerful? I mean, it's too much. You know, you take this and say, this is like a large, juicy steak. You know you can't eat all of it. And so that's what the Word of God is. And so you just have to cut off what you can and enjoy what you can. And so it's so much. You know, I kneel before the Father, and I want you to have out of his riches all this might and his power and faith. And then he says, I want you to be rooted and established in love together so that you can. How do we do that, friends? Listen, so that I want you with all saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Have you ever thought about it? Can anybody fathom that? I don't. I can't grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. I know how high it goes to heaven. How far beyond that, I don't know. How deep? I know it goes all the way down where? To the depths of hell? Because it said Jesus preached to the spirits in prison, wherever they were. So it goes pretty deep. And I know that his love reaches deep enough to rescue me and all of us from wherever we've been. And how wide and all that. It's like, I don't know, but I know it's enough to pull us out of the hole, wherever that hole is that we're in. And now to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And friends, I'm praying God to do that in my life. I pray it in yours that God will do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. So what a beautiful passage. And there's no way I can exegete all this, but we'll take pieces of it and tie it in to what we need to talk about today. And we won't take these necessarily in an order, but we'll take them from the Word, and I put them in an order, kind of wanting to build up to some things. First of all, he says that God will strengthen you with power through his might, his Spirit and inner man. We're going to get to that in a moment. But that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And let's just grab that for a minute because it's important. That word faith, does anyone ever, I mean, have you ever noticed that no theologians, nowhere that you look, you find a true definition of faith? We guess at faith, But you can't find a true definition of faith. We just kind of listen to what some theologian says or some commentary, and you say, what is the problem with finding a definition with faith? It's so hard to narrow down. And I will tell you, it comes from a Greek word, and you can look this up yourself, and it's spelled P-I-S-T-I-S, and it's pronounced in this way, pistis, or pistis. Okay, you say, that's great. We all wanted to know that. Thank you very much. It's important. You know it. I give you the word, so if you might want to look it up. I mean, now I'm the old-fashioned guy, and I have all my books and lexicons and stuff, and I Greek, English, and all that. But you can just look that up. But you'll find all these different, but you never find a complete definition of faith. I think perhaps because it's so immense. It's like love. It's so high. It's so deep and wide. We can't, as human beings, narrow down what faith is. But I'll tell you what the Greek word pistis or whatever means. It means firm. Here it is. This is the translation from that word. In the Greek, remember, one word can mean a whole line of English words. So here we go. It means a firm persuasion from conviction, producing a full acknowledgement. Isn't this amazing? That's a lot. It means, you probably have to listen to this again, but it's a firm persuasion from conviction, producing a full acknowledgement of God's revelation and truth. That's why you don't find a full, people try to explain, how do you explain that? Well, let me tell you where there's the closest definition and a good one, and it's found in the New Living Translation in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Here's how the New Living Translation takes this and puts it into modern English, what you just heard. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. That's what we just read pretty much from that Greek translation. And the New Living and Hebrews 11:1 nailed it. They got it right. Man, they got it. And faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And there's a little more. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. That's in the New Living in Hebrews 11:1. I like that, don't you? And that sums it all up right there. And so here's what he's saying. He's saying faith deals with those things that we cannot see, and it's the confidence that what God says is true. So let me give you these few things about faith here and what our faith. The title of this message is Must Have. I must have faith in what? That confidence in God, first of all, that God is who he says he is. If anyone begins to doubt that God is who he says he is, the rest of this will not matter. Don't let anybody, anything, ever move you off this conviction that God is who he says he is. And with that, this immovable, unshakable faith that God will do what he says he will do. Thank you very much. We're in agreement over there. Do you grab this? Your faith, my faith. You know, when we say, yeah, we got to have faith. Just keep the faith. We got to have faith. Now we've got a real Greek definition. We have a working definition out of Hebrews 11:1. And so what we're doing now is breaking that down and saying, so what does that look like? And that this looks like this, that I believe God's who he says he is. He is the one and only God. He's the almighty God. There is no other God. That's it. And I must love him because he is that one God who loves me enough to give his son for me. Then I must. I don't have a choice. If I'm a Christian, I must love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. People think that's optional. I've had people to say, well, he says, this is what we ought to do. No, he didn't say that. He said, this is a commandment. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there's another commandment that I find much tougher. And that's to love my neighbors myself. And I have some, if I'm not careful, I can get in the flesh, and we all can, and get some very narrow definitions of who our neighbor is. And somebody asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And you remember what he told them? The parable about the guy in the ditch. And what it boiled down to was, your neighbor's whoever is in need at the moment. That's your neighbor. Go get it. Every Christian's your neighbor, but your neighbor who's the one that's in trouble. But I must have I must believe that God is who he says he is, and I must believe that God will do what he says he will do, and I must, in faith, believe. Now let me catch you on this. You ready? I must in faith believe what Paul said in Philippians 4:13. You must in faith believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You'll never be at the very end of your rope. You can do it through Christ. You know, when I reach the end of my rope is when I'm not trusting Christ enough and I'm trying to do it in my own will, my own emotions, my own strength. I'll reach the end of my rope, and I've done it many times. And many times God has let me reach the end of my rope. You know why? He wants me to let go of my rope and let him catch me. That's why many of us, you get out there and you're dangling and you're dangling and you're kicking and you're fighting and you're saying, Lord, help me. And you're saying, why doesn't God come and help me? And God's saying, I want you to let go of trusting yourself. Just go ahead and just hang on to your old self-willed, stubborn rope until it either breaks or you let go, and then I'll catch you. Then you can start trusting me. So just a little word on the side this morning. Won't you let go of that old rope you're hanging on and start trusting him? There's nobody's that stubborn in here, are they? Oh, okay. Well, I missed that one. All right, just a few. Okay. Listen, we all have been. We've all just stubborn. He wants me to finally quit trusting me, quit trusting other things. Quit trusting the government. Quit trusting and trust him. Trust him. So quit dangling and let go. Let him catch you. Let him carry you in his arms for a while. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of dangling on my own rope, aren't you? I'm tired of just fighting and struggling with it and can't get anywhere. Just let go and let him, just trust him to catch you. I've got to believe that I can do anything that, through Christ, anything. Whatever God wants me to do, whatever he tells me to do, if he tells me to go be nice to an enemy, if he tells me to make something and give it to someone, whatever it is, if he tells you to, hey, take this money and do this, what you just got to trust him. You're saying, I just can't do it. Yes, you can. Don't hang on to your own rope. Grab hold and let God, just trust God and just do it. Just trust God and just do it. It's time to just turn loose of self and give it to God in faith. If we say we have faith, then let's practice faith. Let's just do it. God worked me over with this, and it's like, Tony, you get up there and you preach faith and all that, and then a little something happened, and you're going, I don't know how I'm going to pay for that. What am I going to do? And you're just walking around pulling out your hair, and you get in, your head starts hurting, your neck, your back, and you take Advil, and you said, I'm just going to let you hang on to that rope till you get tired of it. Or you can call out to me and say, God, what's your plan in this? What miracle is it that you want to work? What did you want to get my attention through this? Oh, you got it. You ever think about it? Do you think anything really happens at random? How much in your life is just luck, random? Or how much is the will of God working through your life? And sometimes he allows things, so I'll quit trusting in myself and other people. I can't even put your trust in the church. We're supposed to put our trust in Christ and Christ alone. Everybody with me? Too many people trust the church to save them. I've heard people say, oh no, I was baptized in whatever church and whatever, and I'm saved because I was baptized in this particular church. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Really? Because you were baptized in a certain denomination, certain church, or certain whatever? No, the truth is that it's only through my faith in Christ. It's Christ. You know, if I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with my mouth that God raised him from the dead, that's Romans 9, 10. You know, that's it. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And he says, that's it. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, I'm saved. And it's not based on anything else. Let me move on. Faith, that, and I've got, and so this faith here, this thing I must have a faith that, listen to this, you ready? I must have a faith that God totally loves me. and totally forgives me and totally accepts me. And he makes me totally whole and complete, worthy and fully equipped to do what he wants me to do. You think that over. Do you have the faith that God totally loves you and that he totally forgives you and that he totally accepts you and that he makes you totally whole, complete, worthy, fully equipped to do his will? Do you believe that? Because that's what God said he's come to do. He has come to do that very thing. To join you back to him, to forgive your sins and cast them into the sea and remove them as far as the east is from the west. And so I say to you this morning, I declare to you from the word of God that God so loved you, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. God forgives you. You repent of your sins, God forgives you. God accepts you. If you think that God can't accept you, how in the world did he accept some of those rascals in the Old Testament that we hold up as saints? I mean, which one of them didn't mess up? I kid and laugh about Noah, bless his heart. I feel sorry for him. He was on board that boat, blah, blah, blah. And the first thing he does, you know, is plant the grapes. He ferments them, and then he has a party. He gets drunk. Oh no, after all you've been through, and you just go out and, you know. Look at Abraham. He doesn't want to get killed by Pharaoh, so he lies about his wife and says it's his sister. David, the man after God's own heart, he's out there and he sees a woman bathing, and he takes her, kills her husband. These are the people that we hold up, and you just go through the list, and Jacob, every one of them, they were stinkers. And so if you think you're a stinker, welcome to the family of stinkers. We're all stinkers. The greatest saints of God have a little stink in them, and God cleans it up. Think about it. Has there ever been a perfect person outside of Jesus that served God? The heroes of our faith, every one of them, you know, it's like, no. You know why God is so honest about their faults and their sins and their failures? So that we won't give up, and we can understand, look what he used these people, though I'm not knocking them. Look what he used every one of them to do. God worked so mighty miracles through their lives, but they were human. Friend, you're human, and if God forgives, and if he forgave them, he loves them, he made them whole and complete, he used them, so why can't he do that with you? We hold up the Apostle Paul as the greatest of all in the New Testament outside of Jesus. But you forget that he had a huge falling out with his traveling buddy, his missionary buddy, over a young man, and they parted ways. They actually split their friendship for a long period of time. They had a knockdown drag out over that. But they came back together and all worked out in the end. That's the way God works. Did God quit loving Paul because he lost his cool? I mean, they split a friendship over a young man who wanted to go home, and Paul said, he is not going to leave this trip. Nobody backs out on me. And the other one said, you know, it's okay. He's young. He's just a kid. Let him go. And so they parted friends. They just, fine. And then God healed all that later, years later, and all came back around. But friends, listen to me. Everybody's been a stinker, and God uses stinkers to do great things. So have the faith that God put you here for a purpose, and he is going to fulfill it. So why don't you just get on to doing whatever it is that you're here to do? And if you don't know, ask him. He'll show you. Secondly, let's talk about love. Love comes, the love that's, you know, the love. God. What do we say? When you hear agape love, right? What's the definition you get when you hear agape love? God love, right? We all know that? Unconditional, everlasting, anything else? Let me give you what the word means. Finally, we're going to hear what the word means. There's two of them tied together, agape and agapeo. He said, oh God, here we go again. Don't do this to us. they're tied together. But it means the deep and constant love and interest of a perfect being towards an entirely unworthy object. That's God love. That he gives everything, a deep, constant love and interest for somebody that's totally unworthy of it. The definitions go on, but that gives you a little summary. That's agapeo. And then agape, it means it's the attitude of God towards his son and to such as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And get this, not feeling nor emotion, but active living love. Is everybody with me? You say, Tony, is that important? What he's saying here is, he wants you to have the power. You must have got this God-given faith, but this type of God-given love that's not dependent on feelings or emotions. What does that mean? It does the right thing regardless of what I personally feel or think. God, if he would have relied on emotions, what would he have done with the human race? Would he have sent Jesus to save us? If he was an emotional God, he'd have killed us all. Wouldn't he? He wiped the world out once. He didn't want to do that again. And so it's a love that doesn't depend on a feeling or emotion. And friends, listen to me. I'm not trying to be harsh, but too many Christian people are relying on their feelings and emotions to make decisions instead of what the living Word of God says and just doing it actively, living it. God says, love your enemies. He doesn't mean you have to feel anything for them. You don't have to like them. You don't have to be tied up in them in any way. When Jesus says, love your enemies, it means be willing to do for them what I've done for you. Extend a courtesy, a caring, a ministry need to their whatever their needs are. You don't have to feel for them. You don't have to have some emotion. You won't. You might be saying, I can't stand these people. They're my enemy. And God's saying, bring them food. Call them. Send them a letter. Not because you feel like it. Not because you got some, you know, some emotion, something stirred up. That's not it. It's because I put in your heart my love that will extend something to someone totally unworthy. And that's me. Give Jesus to those who don't deserve him. That's what it's about. I know this is tough. I prayed and prayed about this. It's like, that's what this love is. It's not based on whether I feel like it today. I pray, but not because, see, what he's saying is, love me enough to pray when you don't feel like praying. Love me enough to read the Word of God when you don't feel like reading the Word of God. Love me enough to just get out there and be who I called you to be, even though your feelings are saying, I don't want to. You have very many of those I don't want to days. I do. You say, is there ever a Sunday when you're thinking, I just don't want to bring that word? Yeah, this one. This one's hard. This for me is tough. And so let me wrap this up. I don't want to keep us here all day, and you don't want to be kept here all day. But this kind of love, listen to me, this love that gives a deep and constant interest from a perfect being towards entirely unworthy objects. It covers everything. And out of this love flows commitment and faithfulness and sacrifice. That's where we get all these definitions. It's sacrificing, it's giving, it's unconditional. That's right. From this true definition, love is the true character of Jesus Christ, and that's got to be our character. With what's coming up, you say, with what's coming up, friends, your faith and your love may very well be challenged to the max. And that's why this message is hitting, and God put it in my heart, hit this hard today, so that we're firmly embedded in faith that no matter what happens, no matter what happens, grieve through it or laugh through it or whatever you're going to do through it. But friends, don't let what happens in the next few days or the next few weeks or the next few months, do not let it shake your faith in Jesus Christ. And hear me good. Satan does not own this world. God owns this world. He made this world for you and me. He is the power and principality of the air, the devil is, but not the world. And God made the heavens and the earth, and his spirit flowed across the deep, and he separated the firmaments, the water and the land, and he made everything, and then we were made, and he said, I made this world for you. Go and multiply upon it and take care of it. And friends, what we must do in this faith and in this love is claim the authority of God, Jesus Christ, over this fallen world, and do it now. It's essential. The devil, I hear people tell me, and many people, and they said, don't you understand the devil's taken over the world. He wants me to think he's taken over the world. And his servants out there, which are many, want me to believe that they can't be defeated. And I'm saying to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, God will crush them under his foot. If you believe... I'm telling you now, don't back up on this and keep loving and don't let it make you angry and hateful. Don't get in an attitude like they have out there. Keep God in your heart. Love those that are imperfect. You don't have to like them, but take the power from love and keep doing what God called you to do. Keep worshiping. Keep praying, hang in there with it, and no matter what you hear or see, and there will be violence, I'm quite sure of that, depending on how it goes, Jesus Christ is still in charge. Now, I got to close. I bet you're thinking, please, wow. Let me grab this word in here for power, courage, might. I want to save it to last. Let me tell you what it means. You say, no more Greek, please. Okay. The word dynamite comes from this word, dunamis, dynamite. And what it literally means is the power, strength, might, capable of performing anything. That's what we are. We have that power of God to perform anything, to overcome anything. And if you want to put it that way, we have that dynamite power of the Holy Spirit to just blow up anything. Everybody with me? I pray His Spirit explode in our lives. I pray His Spirit explode over this whole election. I pray that God's will just explode out of this. And that we see God and His power and God doing what God does best, coming through. And God, you know, listen, friends, God is, He's an amazing God, and you know this from experience. God is never late, but sometimes I wish He would get in a hurry. Don't you? But He'll be there right when you need Him. But there's lots of times it's, could you show up today? And He's saying, just wait. I have my own timetable, but He'll show up. And He'll show up in this. If, listen to me, if God's people stand in their faith, stand in that love, and stand with this courage, this might, this power, and refuse to back up. You with me? Let me say these few words here, then we'll start wrapping this up. Courage does not belong just to those who wear uniforms. They're all courageous. It's not just for those who go out and win medals of honor, silver stars, bronze stars. Our medals of freedom, those are great. And that's courage. But let me tell you what the most courageous thing I've ever seen is. It's the courage to ask Jesus Christ into your heart and admit that you're a sinner. And make a public, public announcement, public demonstration that Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. And I now know when you do that, you're saying, I now understand by asking Jesus in my heart, repenting of my sins, and asking Jesus to be my Savior and Lord, I am publicly coming out and I am making myself vulnerable to criticism, hate, abuse, and the enemy's assaults. But I refuse to back down on my faith in Jesus Christ. There's nothing braver than being a Christian. I don't care what anybody says. It's the courage to face what opposes us. It's the courage to face my own fears, my own depression, my own discouragement. It's the courage to face criticism, obstacles, the devil, people, circumstances. Let me tell you what it takes courage to do. It takes courage to be real. It takes courage to admit that I'm a sinner. It takes courage to say right up here, all of us together, me, you, all of us, to say I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I'm a work in progress. It takes courage to say that because there's so many saying, look at me, vote for me. I've got the answers. I've got the power. And I'm saying in the name of Jesus Christ, you don't have squat. Only God has the answers. There is no God running for office, but God is at stake. Do you hear me? God is not running for office. God is at stake in this. Because the enemies of God have made themselves available. Open. They've come out in the light. Friends, if you want to know who the enemies of God are, they're out there. You say, I'm not taking a stand for anybody, but I'm taking a stand on this. And I want to say these words, and I want to say them carefully but firmly. Jesus Christ came and he said, I have come that you might know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Is that right? If you abide in my word, you'll know the truth. Truth sets you free. He said, I've come that you may have life and have it in abundance. In the Ten Commandments going way back, what did it say? Thou shalt not, and the King James said kill. That was not the best interpretation. It's thou shalt not murder. If you go back and look at Hebrew, thou shalt not murder. You want to do the right thing in this and help others that still, here it is. God says, I cannot murder and I can't premeditate murder. Therefore, I cannot vote for people who kill babies. And I will not, and I'll stand against it. And I'm not going to vote for somebody who's going to take my freedom to come and worship. It's not a matter of a personality. I don't give a rip for who's on either, what these personalities are. But I'll tell you what I do care about. I do, and you know, if you say, well, how do you decide this? Well, which one is the closest to doing, in spite of whatever stinking personality any of them may have, which one is going to stand up the best and the closest to what God says? Is it life or is it choosing death for someone who has no choice? Think about it. You're going to do away with the person that has a small business and say, why don't you trust the government? Go back and look in the scripture at all the small business owners. We talk about Paul. Was Paul a small businessman? Yes, he was. Paul, the Apostle Paul, what did he do for a living? He made prayer tents. He had a small business. You think about all this stuff. God is for you going out here using your gifts. He's given us gifts. He's given us abilities. And he wants you to use those to glorify him, but to make yourself a life. You are to come to, he said, I've come to give you life and give it in abundance. And we should not and cannot, and we must pray against anyone, anything who tries to take those freedoms away. The very people who have sent troops, military people, to die on foreign soil fighting against socialism are now trying to bring it in our faces. And I'm telling you, that is something out of hell, and I will not support it. I knew this was going to happen. Let me get back settled down. Thanks. Friends, it's come down to freedom. And it's all about freedom. The freedom to be, to worship, to believe. The freedom to choose. The freedom to live life as we see fit in God's eyes. The freedom to say yes, or the freedom to say no. The freedom to choose what God wants for me in life. The freedom for you to choose what God wants for you. And it takes faith, and it takes love, and it takes courage. It takes a lot of guts to do the right thing. Pardon me using that terminology, but fortitude. It takes a lot of fortitude to do the right thing when I know I'm going to get hit for it, cussed for it, ridiculed for it. It takes guts. And it takes faith in God, in Jesus Christ. And it takes love in my heart to go do the right thing. And that may not be what I feel or want to do, but I must have the courage, the boldness, the strength that God gives to go do what God says in spite of what I personally feel or personally think. And I want the freedom. I want the power. I want what God gives, and only what God gives. I want that of God to go out here in this life and be who He put me to be, to live as He put me here to live, to vote as He put me to vote, and to be the man of God He called me to be the best I know how, and I want it for you. And that's what this message is all about. You take your stand on God in Jesus Christ, and you have faith, and you let that love grow. And no matter what happens after Tuesday, don't back up. And let God give you the courage and boldness and might to take your stand and say, I will not compromise the Word of God, for you are you are you. So, friends, I'm saying right now today, closing this message, God gave me this message saying, have the faith, the love, the courage to trust God to do the impossible. I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. And Paul said, I pray out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you be rooted and established in love and have this power, this dynamite power, courage, boldness. Oh, in love, to know how high and deep and wide that God's love goes. Oh, yes. And I remember this. We close with this, and this is my closing prayer, so you can bow your heads with me, and I'm going to close with this verse. Now to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to God's power that is at work within us, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless.